Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been sharing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm delighted you chose to join us today, and I pray that this program will truly be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance.
Forgiven me, my sin has been washed from him.
The reality of forgiveness is beyond explanation. A beautiful song by Damaris Carbaugh, and I trust it spoke to your heart as it did to mine. My name is Lane Lohman. I'm the director and producer of The Lights of Spiritual Guidance. And we're very close to the 89th celebration month of The Lights of Spiritual Guidance. That will happen in August. But thank you so much for listening, and I hope you enjoy the concluding part of the sermon, Do You Love Me? It's a sermon that was preached in a camp meeting setting some time ago, and I hope that you benefited from the message as well as the music. I am involved in camp meeting this weekend, and I do covet your prayers as I am finishing up camp services at Frankfort, Indiana, Frankfort Camp Meeting. I'll be traveling from there to Frostbridge Holiness Camp. That's July 20 to 26. And then I'll speak at Flintwood Wesleyan Church in Columbus, Indiana. That's August the 2nd, Sunday morning only. And then Moore's Holiness Camp, Moore's, New York. That's August 4 to 9. So I do covet your prayers as I travel and as I share the word with the folks at these camps and at Flintwood Wesleyan. Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for your love in our lives, that you do love us, that you have forgiven us. And I pray that you would continue to minister through this radio program. I thank you for the stations that continuously broadcast the lights of spiritual guidance. Most of them, secular stations. So hopefully there are people listening that normally wouldn't hear a gospel message. And I thank you for the fact that some Christian stations carry the program. And my prayer is that the program is an inspiration to those who listen via those stations. Thank you, Father, for supplying the need. You always have, and I pray that you would continue to do that as we keep the lights of spiritual guidance on the radio. Be with those who are sick and shut in, those who have special needs. You know their names, and I pray for them collectively today. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't forget that I do need your financial assistance so I can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website, lohmanministries.org, and give through Venmo or PayPal. Thanks so much.
find a way. A rugged cross of perfect love did his speaking. So much more.
Is there any evidence in your life that you love him? Somebody wrote a song several years ago. The lyric went something like this: if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? What I do in ministry puts me on airplanes a lot. And this happened to me September of 2013. My Saturdays are pretty predictable. My meetings normally start on Sunday morning. And my wife will drive me to the airport in Indianapolis. And I try to book my flights late in the day so I can spend as much time with my wife as possible, because she doesn't always travel with me. And that particular Saturday morning, we had breakfast together. And then at the appropriate time, got into the car and we drove up to Indianapolis. And she pulled up there to the parking area of that beautiful airport. And I got out, got my bags out of the back of the car, put them on the curb. And she got out and she came around and she met me there on that curb. And as she always does to this day, she did it when I left last Thursday. She put her arms around me. She told me how much she loved me. She said, "I'll be praying for you. I'm proud of what you do." And then she kissed me. Not one of those pecks on the cheek kind of kisses. Right in the mouth. The kind that I like. I stepped up on the curb as I watched my wife get in the car. She buckled herself in, adjusted the rearview mirror, put the car in gear, and before taking her foot off the brake and accelerating out of that parking space, she turned and she looked out the window and mouthed the words, "I love you." And I mouthed them back to her. That's a common scene every time she takes me to the airport. And that particular Saturday, after she drove off into the distance, I took my baggage and I pulled them into the airport. And Delta is my airline of choice. And so I went over to the priority line. I fly a lot. I'm priority. I don't have to wait in the line with those other people. The lady gestured me toward the counter, and I walked up and I put my suitor, the one piece of luggage that I checked, I put it up on the scale, and she looked at my ticket and she checked my bag and put a yellow priority bag tag on it. That means my luggage will come out early when I arrive at my destination. Priority has its perks. And then she said to me, "Thank you for your status. I now have status." I made my way through the security there in Indianapolis and went to the gate from whence my flight would depart. I took a seat there waiting on them to call for boarding. I looked out the window and I noticed that the plane that I would be on that particular day would be a Canada Air regional jet, one of the smallest planes that Delta uses to convey passengers. I sat there and I noticed, sitting there in the handicapped area, and I say this with all due respect, not to make fun, there was a very large, extremely large black lady sitting there. And sitting beside her was a very attractive, trim, white lady. They were engaged in conversation. It became very obvious they were traveling together. And so when they called the pre-boards, I saw the white lady get up and assist the large black lady to her walker. And they made their way to the counter and they checked their tickets and they made their way slowly down the jetway to board the plane. Then they called the priority flyers. So I was the next to get on board. And I made my way down that jetway and try and see this. I came to the plane, small plane, as I noted, and had to duck my head just a little bit to come into the plane. And as I came into the plane and turned right, immediately as I turned right, I saw the large black lady sitting in seat 1B. And the attractive, slender white lady crammed up against the side of the fuselage, sitting in 1A. My seat was 2A, right behind them. I took my seat and I began to wonder. I wonder if anybody's booked this seat next to mine. And so I pulled out my Delta app on my phone and I pulled up the seating arrangement for that particular flight. And I discovered that no one had booked seat 2B next to me. I texted my wife immediately and I said, "I've got both seats on this Canada Air regional jet." She texts back immediately, "Way to go, priority flyer." I stretched out a little bit, took my jacket off, put it in the seat next to mine, began to read my book that I'd brought on board. Passengers began to file into the plane. Finally, everybody was on board, and I watched them close the door. That's a good sign if nobody's sitting beside you. I thought to myself, "I've got both seats. For this 40-minute flight to Detroit, I've got both seats." Kind of like first class in a small jet. And then it happened. The attractive white lady sitting in 1A leaned forward. I could hear her. Got the attention of the flight attendant who was already strapped into her seat. And I heard the young white lady in 1A say to the flight attendant, "Could I move right back there to that empty seat?" I did not say it out loud, but I said, "No." FAA regulations say you can't move after the door's shut. This is going to be my seat. Both of them. I couldn't believe what the flight attendant said in response. She said, "You'll have to hurry. We've closed the door." She broke the rules. And that young white lady got up from where she was crammed against the fuselage there in 1A. She made her way around in front of the large black lady in 1B. She came around the edge of that lady's seat, looked me right in the eye, and said, "I'm sorry." Well, I was too. And I confess to this congregation this morning, I did not have "Welcome to my row" written on my face. I had a very unkind expression. This was not supposed to happen. I didn't say a word to her. Just turned and picked up my book written by Dr. Dennis Kinlaw titled Prayer.
bearing the world as Jesus did. I actually remember praying, now, Lord, help me to have the right attitude about this. I don't think I meant it. The plane took off. For the next 35 minutes, not a word was uttered between that lady and me. On our final approach to the Detroit airport, she finally turned and said, "Are you from here?" meaning Detroit. I said, "No." "Columbus." "Ohio?" she asked. "No, Indiana." I said, "What about you?" She said, "Indianapolis." I thought that would be the end of that conversation. As a matter of fact, I wanted it to be the end of that conversation. Then she said, "What do you do?" I tried to be as vague as possible. I said, "I'm an itinerant evangelist." I thought that'll put an end to this conversation. She said, "What's that?" I then tried to explain to her in understandable language what I did for a living, that I would go every Saturday to a church for a revival service, minister to a congregation, help them in their own spiritual lives, and hopefully help that church move and grow and help the people in that church to have a deeper relationship with the Lord. And then as soon as I finished the explanation, she quipped right back. She said, "I bet your wife's glad when you leave every Saturday." And I smiled. I deserve that. And I said, "No. My wife and I are attached at the hip. We love each other deeply." I said, "One of the hardest things I have to do in what I do for a living is to leave my wife for almost 5 days every week. We love each other very much. We have a great relationship." She raised the left hand and pointed to an empty ring finger, and she said, "I wish I had somebody like that in my life." I said, "What's your name?" She said, "Judy Kendall." I'll never forget her name. I said, "Judy, I'm going to pray that God will bring somebody like that into your life." I said, "What do you do for a living?" She said, "I own my own company." She said, "My company is hired by the insurance companies of America to take undocumented people back to their country of origin when they're well enough to travel. And this lady that I am with, she is from Nairobi, and since I'm comfortable traveling in Nairobi, I volunteered, even though I'm the president of the company, to escort her back to her family in Nairobi." I said, "I've never heard of a company like that or anything like that." She said, "That's what I do, and I own the company." And then she said it. "I could tell you weren't happy when I took this seat beside you." And I said, "You're right, and I'm sorry about that." I said, "I travel almost every week by plane, and when you get on one of these planes and there's so little room, and when you've got both seats, it's kind of like being in first class." And she laughed, and she said, "Oh, I know. I travel a lot by plane, and I can appreciate how you feel about it." And we began to talk about that, and we laughed about that. Plane pulled into the terminal and stopped at the gate. She let me out because they had to wait on a wheelchair for Mary. And I stepped there into the aisle of that plane, and I turned around to Judy Kendall, and I said, "Judy, it was a pleasure meeting you." She said, "It was nice to meet you too, Lane." And then she said this. She said, "Lane, you work on that expression." And I have. I've never been the same. I made up my mind that that would never happen again. Because you see, my friend, there was no evidence in my life that I loved Jesus that day. There was no evidence in my life that I cared about anybody but me and my comfort. I didn't care about anybody else on that plane. I didn't care about Judy Kendall. I cared about Lane Loman. No evidence that I loved Jesus that day. And I made up my mind that would never happen. Whether it's somebody sitting beside me on a plane, a server in a restaurant, or whoever it might be, I made up my mind I was going to have evidence in my life that I loved Jesus. But then notice Peter's purpose. Jesus said three times, "I've got a purpose for you. I want you to feed my sheep. I want you to feed my lambs." And really, this is truly amazing to me that after what Peter had done, after he denied Jesus and gone back to the boats to fish, It's amazing to me that Jesus saw the potential in Peter. He said, I want you to feed my sheep. I've got a job for you. I want you to work to build the kingdom of God. And if you know anything about the history of Peter, beyond the ascension of Jesus Christ, you know, along with 10 other disciples, he died spending his life for the gospel. And when they came to execute him for that purpose, tradition says, and some say it's debatable, but most traditions say that when they came to execute him and he found out they were going to crucify him, he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Crucify me upside down. He proved it. He loved him. Nothing else that you might do in the name of the church, in the name of Jesus, doesn't matter. Because it's all founded on how much you love him. Simon, son of John, do you love me?
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I pray that the program has truly been a blessing to you. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. In the state of Kentucky, the Churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point. Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and in the state of Indiana, Bethel Wesleyan Church in Columbus, Columbus Free Methodist Church in Columbus, Indiana, the Church of the Nazarene in Orleans, Indiana, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church again in Columbus, Indiana. I hope you'll take just a few minutes to write us that letter of support. We do need to hear from you, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and click on the Venmo or the PayPal tab there. Our mailing address is the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Until this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.